Rebecca.
And I'm Krabeshni.
And welcome to Building with Builders,
our podcast where we believe that building is fun.
Super fun.
So much fun.
Build Her Collective was created to help women with building and renovating. And we believe that with the right tools, everyone can build. For us, it's all about encouraging women to take back control of the building process and really achieve their dreams.
We are women in the building industry, and as developers, builders, and project managers, it's our passion to share everything we know with other women doing the same. And that's why we've created this podcast for you.
So if you love all things building,
you're into design,
keen on the numbers,
about to renovate,
thinking and dreaming of that forever home and what it would look like,
or even developing for profit,
then you've found your family.
Subscribe to our podcast and follow our journey over at buildhercollective.com.au.
Hello, lovely builders. Today we have the amazing Ellie Waite from Ellie Waite Stylist here talking to us about, well, we're going to cover off a number of things and we'll probably go off topic as normal, but we definitely want to cover off five low cost to no cost styling tips that you can use to get your house looking fabuloso without spending a whole heap of money. So thank you, Ellie, for coming to talk to us today.
Oh, it's so good to chat to you. Thank you for having me.
It would be great to give us a little bit of background into your, like, I know you do property styling for agencies. What does your business do as an overall in general?
I've been in this business for, I think it's about 12 years now, property styling essentially. So I work with different agents and privately to help people get their homes looking amazing to go online. So it could be something like just a, a consultation where I come to your house and work with what you have already, or it could be, you know, installing furniture into the home, whether it be a partial style or a full style.
I think those two things are quite good because some people have a pretty good home to begin with and it's a lower cost option, but they really need someone to come through and say, you need to, well, I don't know, what would you say, like clear out that?
Well, and that's the thing. I think people think that, you know, property styling is all about making it look pretty and bringing in flowers and, you know, artwork and things like that. But a lot of it is about, you know, making spaces look bigger and brighter and thinking about traffic flow too for open for inspections. So, you know, you might have the couch in a great position to watch TV, but in terms of making the room look really big or thinking about traffic flow, that might be something that we consider in the consultation.
So you do that for people who are selling their house. You'll go in and you'll either do their own furniture or you might recommend, look, we've got a furniture pack we can bring in, we can sort it all out for you, make it super easy.
Yep, that's right. Or do a mix and match. So I might leave you with a shopping list to go and get a few items just to bring what you have already together. You know, often people will build a house and they never get around to furnishing the rumpus room. They just put a few bean bags in there. There's a lot of that sort of thing, like doing just a rumpus room, and we might turn a large study into a bedroom just to kind of, you know, push that price up and add another bedroom into the mix. So it could be a partial style like that, or like I said, a full house.
So you do that for the property when you're selling, and you also take on, you were saying, like two or three big interior design jobs a year.
Yeah, so I sort of limit myself to just a few interior design jobs a year. So I love, you know, a bit of commercial stuff too. So I've been working with a large school down here and also a hotel in Geelong. So that was another fun one to do. But generally, if I'm taking on big interior design jobs, it's with somebody that I've worked for before. So it could be that we've sold their house and now they're building their big dream house. And, you know, you really have to work well with the client and, you know, they sort of have to have full confidence in you, of course. So yeah, I just take on a few a year, which leaves me open to do the property styling.
And then also you do, which I love the concept of it, like, because it's kind of that taste of stuff, or sometimes you just need a bit of help. You do like an hour of power, and that to me is super fun. And you can do that online and you can do that in person, but who doesn't want someone to come in, say, actually, that couch is great, move it over here, those cushions have to go, here's a shopping list, those 50 wine bottles that you've got stacked up on top of the cupboard, maybe you could get rid of them.
And that's, I love working to a really low budget or no budget, because I find that it really pushes me to to think outside the square and to maybe like utilize things in a different way or repaint them or, you know, look for bargains somewhere. So I love working like that because I find it's really easy to have a client show a picture from Instagram to you and say, I really want that bathroom or I really want that room. I don't have the opportunity to be creative if you're doing that because you might as well just go and buy it yourself. You know, all the stores are listed. So I do love that thinking outside the square and thinking on my feet too. And I found a lot of clients were sort of saying to me, I really need help with this or I really need help with that. But the thought of actually engaging an interior designer to come and help you with some of those things was a bit daunting. So that's why I thought about launching this Hour of Power, where I can turn up at your house for an hour and we can cover whatever you want in that hour. So it could be you're building a new home and you want me to look at the new floor plans and help choose some finishes, or it could be I need to do up my son's bedroom. He's 14 now and we need to get out of, you know, Thomas.
Yeah, and I think there's that kind of nice mix because sometimes you don't need an interior designer but you just want someone to, and sometimes we've got a friend that we rely on but they're not quite, you know, like if you're not actually engaging someone to do to do something, it becomes really awkward.
Even myself with, you know, my friends that are in the industry, like sometimes, you know, if one of us is building, it's like, oh, look, what do you think of these tiles? Like you do just need a second opinion. You need that second set of eyes. And the problem with, you know, relying on friends and family is you just get so many differing opinions. You don't know what the hell you're doing in the end.
They're not qualified either, I guess, is the other.
No. And often I will go to a house and they're like, oh, my mum said I need to do that, but my girlfriend said it looks daggy, and they're just more confused.
We talk about the freak out factor, or it's one of our podcast episodes actually. Go, if you want to listen to it, go listen to it, because it happens in every project. You just get freaked out by all the decisions that you've made and you want a sounding board and you want someone who knows what they're doing to come and talk to you about it and either clarify that actually just change this or do that, or yeah, that doesn't feel right because it's not right, or you're on the right track, you're fine, just go forth.
Exactly.
So I think that that Hour of Power sounds super helpful, and it's a cost-effective way that I guess you don't need to engage an interior designer to, because to me an interior designer does a whole house or does a whole like a room concept, or sometimes you just need the shuffle as well as, you know, just the concepts all the way through.
Yeah, exactly. And I think too, we're so bombarded with imagery now of all these new products out and, you know, with Pinterest and Instagram and, you know, you've got your good old magazines and everything as well. It's sort of, it's easy to get really confused about what you're doing and what direction you want to go in.
Especially when you look at the magazine and you look up the price tag on that couch and it's $5,000 or on that chair even. I looked up a couch. I'm like, oh my God, I found the perfect couch. I'm like, how much is your couch? $14,500. I'm like,
I can find you a cheaper one. That looks
but that's the other thing. I'm not buying that couch.
I know, and you have to think practically. Like, you know, if you've got kids or dogs or cats and things like that, you've really got to take all that into account. You've got to take into account how you live and, you know, how it's going to be used. So, you know, for couches, for instance, I find that's one of the things that people need a lot of help with that they actually don't know they even need help with, because, you know, there's so many things to consider. The height of the couch, if you've got low ceilings in your room, you don't want to be going with anything that's too high. The depth of the couch, you know, in comparison to how tall the people are in the family and how you're going to use it. Like if you're going to use it for having Friday night drinks, you don't want to be on a meter deep couch and not be able to reach the nibbles. So there's all those things to consider too.
Yeah. And I know you've got a specific segment where you talk about, because I think that's quite a detailed chat of that, how to choose the perfect sofa or the perfect couch. And if you've got, I guess, a bit of money to upgrade something, then that's obviously a good choice. But talking about those five low cost, or, you know, like things that everyone could do or kind of give a crack at in their own home. And I know you ran this as kind of a little bit of a, I'm going to go with competition. I don't know if that's right. A little bit of a challenge.
Little ISO segment when none of us could do anything. I kind of just thought, oh, we're all at home and we're stuck here. What can I kind of give people that's kind of low cost or things to consider that, you know, that they might be able to do that'll really change the space that they're in?
The first one you were talking about was the shoe. Well, I mean, you said shoes in this, but I assume it's that dumping ground at the front door.
Yeah, like we're not all blessed with a mudroom, are we? So it's just coming up with great ideas in terms of storage, whether it be in your hallway or whether it be, you know, in the garage near the door. So I had quite a few young mums, like mums with little toddlers, saying, oh my God, all these shoes, what do I do with them?
So I see that you've like, there's a couple of IKEA cabinets that you've said are kind of good for that area. I guess that's the first thing when you come into a house, it's the entrance of a house. And so if that looks cluttered, it's kind of your first impression, is it?
I know. I think if you can keep your entry nice and clean and have maybe a nice console or something in your hallway with a lamp and some foliage or flowers or something, if anybody's at the door, it kind of looks like you've made an effort and you're house proud, but who knows what's going on down the hallway and around the corner. It could be all chaotic down there.
Or inside the drawers.
Exactly. That's right. But yeah, I did give a couple of tips on there about the IKEA storage units, but also about, you know, how to hack them and make them look a little bit different so they're more customized to, you know, the style of your home.
Yeah. And I guess what you were looking at was things that were quite narrow. So you were able to kind of have a pot plant, or like you'd styled some up for the photos, which was very nice of you. You'd able to have a pot plant or, you know, somewhere to drop your keys, but you could also hide all those shoes away.
You know, and a lot of the people that got in touch with me, you know, with that question, where they've bought their new house and it might be a volume build house, which, you know, don't always have particularly wide hallways. So that was a good answer for that. But also, if you do want to mix it in with a console as well, it's not as intrusive. So it just sort of sits back where that console can sort of be more pronounced.
You know, which I liked as well, because it's kind of like, okay, I can do that. My shoebox, I think we were talking about this before, is just an abomination at the front door. There's 8 of us living in a 3-bedroom townhouse at the moment. And everyone takes off their shoes at the front door. So there's just this mound of shoes. And I've got, really professionally looking, a cardboard box.
As long as they can put it in something, doesn't matter what it is, but as long as it's inside.
Do you know they don't though? Anyway, the next step is training them. I'm like, you see that box with all the shoes in it? That's for the shoes. Anyway, I am like 3 weeks away from having a mudroom, so huh.
I'll have to come over and have a look at that mudroom and just have coffee in the mudroom.
Yeah, I have designed it so there's a place for the shoes because they drive me that insane, and the jackets because I cannot stand the jackets hanging on the back of the chairs.
Exactly. And so that's what I do when I am doing these hour powers. If I go and look at a floor plan, I look at it from, you know, the mum of 3 kids point of view. So all the things that I'm looking for is like, where are they going to put their school bags and where are we going to put all the shoes and, you know, that sort of thing. So it's worth having someone look over those.
Like, I don't know about you, but I've got so much more stuff than I ever thought I would have. And I've got duplicates of things and I need to kind of deal with that at some point, I think. But like, if you want stuff away and you want the home to feel calm, then you've got to kind of get rid of that stuff and you need a home for it. So if it hasn't been considered and you haven't thought about it, it's how you feel when you enter a home.
Yeah, definitely. I think I've become a lot better at decluttering, and I think it's just the nature of the work I do. Like, I spend all day telling people to declutter and depersonalize when they're selling. So I think it's sort of ingrained now. I'm quite good at just, you know, not buying too much stuff and just kind of having what I need kind of thing. I'd rather wait and get what I really want.
Well, you know, and that's the thing, like sometimes the bigger pieces, you want to feel the space before you go out and buy something.
And that's one of the things I find, you know, people rush into buying everything. And I think it's really important if you've moved into a new place to live in it for all seasons before you start on anything really big, because often you change your mind. And it is, you know, that's why this sort of thing, this hour of power, which it's not expensive to do.
How much is the hour of power?
It's $195.
You can do that online or in person.
No, I do it in person because I like to see the space and see the light coming in. And I mean, as much as, you know, I love working online and stuff, I think there's something to be said to being in the space and also really seeing how the family live, because you want it to be personal to them as well.
Well, everyone's different. I know, like, Krabashni and I often joke, like, she can't find anything in my kitchen and her kitchen's just all wrong.
Are you those girls that are fighting over like where the knives and forks go? Which is it?
Yeah.
You know, fork, knife, spoon, or is it, you know?
No, because her entire fork and spoon drawer is not where it should be.
Oh, in the room, right?
In the room, right? And but because we just live really differently. But she was trying to make a cup of tea for me the other day in my kitchen, and she couldn't find anything. And I'm like, our brains are just wired differently, and everyone's brain is wired a little bit different. So there are natural things that you would do, and then there are things that I guess you can see by visiting that space. So running through those tips, because one was tackle the entrance and the shoe storage. Two was shelf styling.
I just think people overthink it too much. Like, there's no real rules to it. I mean, there is, but there's not. So hopefully in this shelf styling on this Instagram post that I did, I've kind of made it a little bit easy to follow. And it's just having varying heights in there, and just having things talking back to each other, thinking about, you know, different kind of shaped sculptured sort of vases and things like that.
I quite liked how you kind of broke it down though. I mean, yes, you've got the video where you're putting everything together, but, you know, starting with the larger items first and kind of working through your scale.
Yeah, and it might mean doing all of that and then taking three or four things off, but it's just playing around with it too, yeah.
And I guess shelves are moving. They're evolving, right?
Yes.
Hopefully a shelf isn't just decorated once and left like that. Maybe that's the way I live, is that I would like the use for things.
Yeah, it's lovely to change it up and change it with the seasons, and then, you know, you might get sick of looking at all those books, so you put in, you know, you might want to get into some photographs, especially this time, you know, that we've all been through with ISO and stuff. You know, you might put in new plants when you kill the old ones and that sort of thing.
Well, you know what? My plant budget's pretty good because I don't buy cut flowers, and I figured they're much more cost effective than flowers.
That was the other tip that went through the roof, was the foliage.
Do you go scavenging for foliage?
Yeah, so that's, I reckon I had so much feedback on that tip that I gave out that day, was styling with foliage and going out to your garden or
other people's
the neighborhood. I know I got so many photos sent of people in like golf courses and in the nature strips, and I thought, oh god, there's gonna be nothing left in Victoria, all these trees are gonna be barren. But that's the thing, if you have no money to spare, you can just go outside and see a beautiful magnolia tree or an olive tree or a gum tree or a wattle tree or whatever, and just get some foliage off that and dress up, you know, your console in your entry with that, or your dining table or your coffee table. Bringing that greenery inside is lovely. And I don't know, I feel like when I bring flowers or foliage into the house, it gives me that urge to clean it. So then I make a really clean space, and yeah, it's beautiful and it costs you no money at all.
All right, so we've got the shoe storage, the styling shelf, the foliage we're getting. What about bed linen? Because this one came up just in terms of being able to beautifully, you know, like it looks great when you make a bed, beautifully mix and match.
I love good bed linen. I like nice sheets, and I like a feather down doona and that sort of thing. And also, I don't like all the storage of sheets. Like, I really don't have much in my linen closet at all, because I buy well, but I buy all in the same tones. So granted, I have three boys. The tones that I love are, you know, kind of grey, white, navy, and a pale blue. So what I was talking about in that is that I buy linen and I'm able to mix and match with the kids' rooms as well as the living room and our bedroom, and move cushions from the living room. It's just changing things up without going out and buying more stuff. So I might have a coverlay in one of the boys' rooms, and then we'll move it into our room if I want something, you know, if it's navy in there and I want to start bringing navy into our room or something. So it's about buying well, not buying too much. And, you know, you can mix up the sizes a bit too. Like, you can even have a single bed coverlay running the other way on a double bed, you know, the base of the bed. It doesn't matter if they're different sizes. You can still change up pillowcases, add stripes to one room and take them out of another. And yeah,
I think it's really interesting, because the days of your traditional ways that your mum styles the bed was everything matched exactly and everything was kind of bought together as a set. And
I had the Ken Doan doona cover.
Oh, did you? My mum painted my floor bit of concrete floor. She painted it in pink and then she put purple splodges with, you know, the big sponges.
Oh, how cool was she?
And I had a TV, one of the big timber TVs, and she did the TV in pink and purple splodges too.
Oh, my goodness. Oh,
I know, she was rocking. She is rocking, actually. She's very good at all this stuff. But now there's that, you know, she's like, oh, you just, when we talk about, because I use linen. And I use linen because I don't iron. And the kind of crumpled get out of bed, it kind of goes with how I roll.
You stick with the same sort of tones and they all work together. You can move them around and then you don't have anything out of place in your linen closet. You don't have like a bright yellow that just doesn't work with anything.
No, and I thought that was really nice because then it is, it's varied and it moves, and if that one goes into the wash, you can pull one out, another one out, and you can kind of play with the textures and the tones. So it's always fresh.
And like I said, like one of my boys is a mad keen surfer, so he's got this tropical wallpaper in his room, but the navy works in there. So, you know, I don't have to go and buy him loud bed linen because he's got that on his walls. So it doesn't mean that all our rooms look the same. You know, you can bring in their personality and other things.
So you're basically bringing in the personality through artwork, which was your final, the final of the five tips.
That's another one that people really loved having help with as well, because I think people get really scared of art.
So what was your tip on art? What would you...
So my first tip is to think about where it's going and get the scale right, because that's what I find most when I go into homes. Often the artwork's too small for the wall it's actually going on. So a couple of my tips were, like, if it's going above a couch, you really want your artwork to be kind of about two-thirds of the size of your couch. So, you know, it could be a centered sort of landscape style painting or print, or it could be two portraits up together, or could even be three smaller portraits along that length. But, you know, thinking of taking up sort of two-thirds of that wall space with art. And the other thing is, you know, hanging the art too high or too low. So if it was going behind a sofa, I would generally go, you know, 15 centimetres above the sofa, because you still want your artwork to talk back with your cushions and that sort of thing. You don't want to have it too high on the wall.
This is probably not one of your recommended, but I make a lot of my own art just because I can and I'm not that worried. So like the last house, I just needed something to stand up in the hallway, and I had the center of a rug. You know, the when you buy a rug, there's a cardboard center.
Oh yes.
And I had some house paint because we'd painted the skirts. So I just chopped it, like I sawed it, and I basically used that center thing to make this massive big artwork. And I actually really love it. And I just took it down to get framed, and it was cheap. And I'm worried about it.
Oh, I love that. And I've been to friends' houses before and said, I love your artwork. And they're like, oh, I did it myself. I'm like, oh, my God, I can start selling that for you. Yeah, that's fantastic.
Or even kids. Another friend of mine got her son, she's actually one of our builders. She set up the colour palette to work with what she wanted in the room. So she kind of designed it a little bit like that. She gave him specific colours and then let him paint this.
She does her mothering like me. Just do it this way.
You can do whatever you want, only use these colours.
Yep. Please don't decorate the Christmas tree.
Yeah. Yeah, but I thought that was quite clever too.
Yeah, that is.
I mean, I'm not an artist, so that organic nature that people have when they've got that beautiful abstract flow, I can't do. But kids seem to be able to nail it sometimes, but they do it in all the wrong colours.
That's fantastic. And I love that it's, you know, it's a little story and it's, you know, their child's artwork, which is lovely. The other problem that I find sometimes with social media is people just, you know, there might be an artist that's trending at the time and they're like, I've got to have that. And it's just like, it doesn't suit your house though, you know. So it's finding something that works in your home, because otherwise you're always, something's not right, you know, all the time in there. So you've got to find something that suits the style of your home as well, not something that's just trending.
So where would you go to find artwork?
Oh, my God, everywhere. I have a list of artists that I love, and I put that up on my Instagram post. I love Jennifer Riddle. I love Debbie McKenzie. So I'm really into landscapes at the moment, which I love their work.
Do you go in phases? I go in phases a little bit with things.
I'm not very bright and abstract-y. I am with clients, but in my own home, I think I work with colour so much, I like to come home and it's a bit kind of boring.
Calming.
Calming, yeah. Calming's the word, not boring. I'm not great with bright abstracts in my own home. In saying that, I love Antoinette Fuwerda's work. I love those little arches that she does.
So I think you can create art in a whole heap of ways. You've just got to find things that you love.
I know, and you can get prints. Like I just got for Mother's Day a Debbie McKenzie print. So you don't have to always buy the original either, although I'd love to. But when budgets come into place, it might not be within your budget. So do you know another one I get every now and then? I'll get a good one from Adairs. Not always.
Yeah, right.
I've got one in my bedroom that just looks like it was made for it. Like it's all the tones that I have and I love. And even the frame's like a brushed brass frame, which is the same as my lighting fittings. So, you know, it just kind of works. So sometimes you could go to somewhere that's relatively cheap and just find the exact thing that works.
If it doesn't actually speak to you, don't buy it, would be my advice there. If you feel like, oh, I really like that, or if you kind of come across something and it's not super expensive, but you like, oh, I really like that, then that's when I'll purchase something. So I purchased a beautiful from Clancy Joe, beautiful photo of just it's her daughter actually riding a bike in the middle of a dust storm. And I'm just with these goggles on. I'm like, beautiful. And I love it. And it just summarizes how I want my daughter to feel.
Well, you've nailed it, because it really does need to speak to you and mean something to you. Like I will have clients say, can you buy me some art for this wall? It's really hard to buy art for somebody else. Like even for somebody that you love in your family or your best friend, it's very hard to buy art for somebody else. I can lead people to works and think what I think would look really nice in the space, but they have to love it.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much. I think that's five really, I guess, not super easy, but really easy things that people can put in place just to make their house feel more interior designed or calmer or just next level it a little bit. And then if you are interested in having Ali come talk to you about her Hour of Power or getting a consult, you can go to her website, and I'm going to let you spell it, Ali.
So it's Ali Waite Stylist, which is AliWaight stylist.com.au, or you can just message me on Instagram or Facebook.
Perfect. So thank you so much for today.
Thank you so much. It's been fun chatting to you.
Yeah, we'll put some links below as well if you want to check them out.
Perfect.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to Building with Build Her. We'd love for you to spread the word. For show notes, links and downloads and other awesome resources and freebies, head to buildhercollective.com.au. And don't forget, that's Build Her with an H-E-R.
And if you enjoyed this episode, it would mean so much to both of us if you could take a minute or two to leave a review.
And don't forget to subscribe so you can listen next time as we talk all things building and women making their mark in the building industry.